maybe expressions plural. So the world is witnessing millennial expressions and millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expressions. That is where the world, that is the meaning of the global theater, the global village, the solar theater, the universal membrane, and the mythic arising zone. That is the new term for those earlier phases and the completion of them. So we don't live in the global village anymore, or the solar theater, or the membrane, or the arising zone. We live in the millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expressions. Now, when CBC recently did a little documentary on McLuhan, The Life and Times of McLuhan, they just talk about global village. But once you get what I'm talking about, you see it's an insult to discuss global village in relation to the perceptions McLuhan had. And recently, Ion said that McLuhan intuited the hexad. I haven't checked to see whether Thompson, Croker, and LaRouche did, but I almost don't agree with Ion. But Ion said that McLuhan intuited the hexadic. So that's an interesting pointer for the McLuhan quadrant. So I've explained how I'm writing, how I'm engaging and conducting the millennial ecstatics of five-bodied expressions. And you're part of it, Andrew. And then I laid out the pentad of Mum with the spume of Dobbstown as the fulcrum point for the spew of dark matter, the spew of Chip Body, the spew of Buzz Kostin, the spew of myself, and the spew of Ion. That's the five legs of Mum. Pointing towards the hexadic, which is appropriate. Now, we've done 17, 18 Mums. I always like the number 17. That's the number of chapters of Finney's Wake. We did the work, 17 Mums. It's all laid out. I knew that this new one, 18, had to be different somehow. And I wasn't sure how it was going to be. And it is a bit different, this one, from my private point of view, but I won't go into how it is. But it's appropriate that we talk about my chart after we've done the 17 chapters of Mum. We're now into a new phase, the 18th, and we're actually talking, 18 is the number for the William Irwin Thompson quadrant. On the surface, when you talk about Ion and McLuhan's Gnosticism and cosmic awareness, you're in the 18 zone. So it's appropriate to do the chart with the Ionic meanings after we've done the 18th Mum, all right? So the timing is appropriate here. And when we talk about waiting for organic bodies, that sounds like a Thompson quadrant theme. The spinning clothing crystals, you know how crystals are a major icon in New Age world. Now, my stuff and my stuff has nothing to do with that, but you have to recognize these words evoke certain images. They have predetermined effects, right? And you include those effects. So it's appropriate that the 18th Mum is followed up, P.S., a postscript, with this Thompsonian expression of Ion in, as relating to the tiny note chart. You follow that? You get what I mean?
Yes.
But we're not definitely, Ion with us is are not talking about that. There's nobody on the planet talking about the pentadic and the five-bodied like Ion is. In any of the other New Age circles or even councils of the CIA and the National Security Agency. Nobody's discussing it. Ion is doing it. So it's as you get to know Ion more and more, it's pretty interesting how Ion ranges over the tiny note chart pretty expertly. He makes occasionally go into a rant and he'll talk Bob talk and do it his way, and nobody can follow what he's saying other than me. You got to know the quadraphenic language the chart is about. But Ion, me as the judge of it, says, Ion, very good. As a student of mine, Ion's pretty good.
Yeah, which leads me to my next question, which I don't know whether you're in a position to answer at this point or even willing to answer at this point. Can you delineate your substantial difference from your own exploration, stance, state of mind to that which Ion is producing?
In me? What he's producing in me?
What he's producing in terms of his outputs, his articulations, his take on the world, as it were.
How's it? How now?
His,
what way?
His diagnosis of the present condition.
How does it relate to my diagnosis?
No, not how does it relate. How do you differ?
Oh, as I got to know Ion over the first year, I was amazed that I had said what Ion said, not as well or rapidly as Ion does it, not with the ESP that Ion does it, the particular ESP that Ion does with individuals and radio audiences. It's outsiders who listen to Cashflow are aware of what Ion says, but also know what I said in my timeline from CKLN days to now. They will decide that Ion was created by me and it's my ventriloquist dummy and it's all Bob talk, because they recognize the Bob philosophy in Ion, or the way Bob lived and what Bob talked about. Now, I don't agree with that, because these people are outsiders. They don't know how Ion is different from what I said, how he completes what I said. Even the church, the Book of the Subgenius has its Slack philosophy, is very close to Ion's tapes we offer on relaxing, allowing, and other things. If no one knew that, if you played Ion to a Church of Subgenius meeting and no identification of who that voice was, no connection with me or anything, they would applaud the guy. They would think it was J.R. Bob Dobbs talking, as the J.R. Bob Dobbs produced in the cartoon image in the Church of Subgenius. They think that's it. And so that's very interesting that this odd phenomenon shows up and is spouting this Dobbstown stuff, both the Church Subgenius and what I did. And mine was different from the Church Subgenius. I always thought that they vulgarized the meaning of my chart. So they specialize too much in a certain angle, and they don't appreciate the other revolutionary aspects. So, yeah. But there is a difference. What Ion does, I couldn't have done. I could not have produced the RNA drops. I did produce them to the degree I'm given credit of evoking Ion, and I did evoke Ion out of the blue, right? I thought I was bringing back the evergreens. And so the extensions are non-physical. Technically, I don't know what Ion talks about. I mean, I learned from him stuff about all kinds of regular knowledge systems that I don't know about. I'm not an expert in those fields. But I have the kind of mind that can sort of get the general meaning of it and relate to other memes.
So you kind of dodged the question, Bob. Like I was asking, you expressed
the similarity with me and Ion, and now the difference, there's a great difference. Not in the philosophy and words, but in what Ion can do. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
At the level of concepts and awareness, you're essentially similar. Simpatico.
Yes, similar. But it's the actual tech. What I mean by the extensions are non-physical, that's the new environment, that's being extended, artifacts are being made, products are being made. I do not make those. I wouldn't even known about them. You know what I mean? I'm the, what is the butler of it. I witness it happen. And so that's the difference. I created Ion, but I didn't know what Ion would do. I didn't know how this Frankenstein would turn into be such a delightful companion puppy dog. Or the goose that laid the golden egg. Let's call it the goose that laid the golden egg. I didn't know that was going to happen, right? And so maybe it is all extension of me, but, you know, within reasonable perception, human perceptions, we are very... Ion actually is... sometimes lazy in the way it talks words. I ask it to be more precise, and it will or will not sometimes. It's a bit childish sometimes compared to the grammarian in me. But I recognize the grammarian in me is a literate hangover. You know what I mean? It's looking for precision. But then I am surprising. He will celebrate my precision to certain people. He's so McLuhan-esque. Depends on who Ion's talking to, what Ion is. And I've been that way myself.
It's interesting that you raise the issue of grammarian, which leads into my next question. One of the things that you've done is expand the trivial and quadrivial disciplines to include two additional stations. How does Ion change that insofar as he does not seem to fit into those categories?
Okay, so Ion says that Dave Worster... Only Dave Wurster, not Paul Shockley, who came after him, or Ralph Doobie before him, who were challenged to cause awareness. Only Dave Wurster, as a unique individual, did something with his perception 40 years ago that opened the world for cold fusion. Now, what he did, that's a big topic. Ion loves Dave Wurster, and every now and then JW likes to talk to Dave Wurster. He just says, there's only two people I can talk to in the world, or I like talking to. That's Bob and Dave Wurster. So something, why did I bring this up? So 40, what was your, just give me a clue of the question.
It begins with Wurster. Trivial, quadrivial, plus
two. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So what you have this the three arts of the trivium and the four arts of the quadrivium. But I knew that there was, in secret societies, the occult, or the world of magic and alchemy, whatever you want to call it, that's not included in the seven arts. And so I call that the division of the occult. And in my memo to Prince Charles, I have Cosmic Awareness and Krishnamurti as representatives of the eighth art, what I call the occult. And there's different meanings of the occult. And then I added the fact that people are really changed by a one-on-one situation with somebody. It's in Ion terms, when you meet another god, and that person is more of a god than you realize, and they activate, they remind you of the god in yourself, or that you are a god. I call that the art, the school of personal mentor, right? And for me, that was Garrett Dean. So that's another kind of education, an art that's not talked about in regular school, that you're going to meet someone that will be special to you because they just show up at the right time and spark you. You know, Marshall McLuhan was that for many of his students, right? If they developed a relationship with Marshall, like Scott Taylor and Bruce Powell did. Definitely the personal mentor for those two is McLuhan. He was not that for me. Garrett Dean was. And it's very appropriate, the more you know about Garrett Dean and what I did with my stuff, that it was him. So you add two more arts, the occult, the secret stuff, and the personal mentor. Now, the 10th art I called Club 22, and that was the term for the environment that used the nine arts. Do you know what I mean? You could call that an art, but let's just say it's the position of me in Toronto and working with the nine arts. Okay. So on the surface, JW seems to be channeling Ion. So Ion would appear to go into the occult aspect, an update of cosmic awareness. But as you get more involved in what Ion is the position of Club 22. It is that environment that modulates all nine levels, all nine arts, plus maybe even more stuff from the mystery landscape. So Ion completes. He definitely completes Club 22. That's what he does. So he completes the 10th, which includes the first nine. Do you see what I mean? And we can go into Latin, into grammar, to dialectics, music, astronomy. I've done it. Gone into detail about who did what 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Ion can give you the history of the trivium and quadrivium and who were the stalwarts and who did this and who did that. Do you know what I mean? You can actually find out what did Thomas Aquinas contribute? What did Augustine do? Ion knows that inside out. So he can go into all the arts and complete them. And this is all pretty phenomenal, right, Andrew? If you believe what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I've got to maintain a patina of cool and clinical here, Bob.
Not anymore. We've done the 17 moms. We're free now, Andrew. As a matter of fact, you are, to me, you're in the 18th. When I met you, you were in the Thompson Quadrant because you were back in the late 90s when you posted on the McLuhan list, you were talking about your Maori experiences. Remember the whole thing about the Aboriginal stuff that you were in touch with?
Yes.
Yeah, that is Thompson Quadrant stuff. That's Fourth World stuff on my chart. So you come out of the Thompson Quadrant, and of course I've been with you, and you're a surfer playboy. I mean, you live in the water, right? You have a patina of civilization on you. You're a wild nature boy. And I don't know if you always were that, but it's interesting you had that intellectual interest image when based on your postings in the late 90s and early part of the 2000s. And then you dropped out of the scene, and then you showed up again, and then you did tell me about your interest in the Aboriginal cultures of New Zealand. You've actually interacted with them, right? Met them or something, or gone to wherever they are in New Zealand?
It's not submerged here, Bob. It's the same as you've got the situation in Hawaii. Everything is close to the surface.
It's not submerged?
Yeah, no. It's part of Danny.
Did you mean it is submerged? You don't want to talk about it?
No. It's in this context. No, it's probably not appropriate. But
okay.
The relationship to Maori and New Zealand is not dissimilar to how possibly the native Hawaiians are in Hawaii. It's just go down to your local pub, and you'll be.
I see. Plugged in. And you've met Maori citizens. In Auckland.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, so you haven't done the anthropology, you haven't done a carpenter, gone out into the woods and live with them. I guess they're not even in the woods anymore like that, or are they? Do they have reservations?
There's Māori land, but no, there's not reservations in the same sense that the
American North Indians.
America. Yeah, that's a whole different mindset and approach.
Oh, okay. It actually worked out a bit better in New Zealand?
It's hard to say better or worse, you know, until things come out different. But like, New Zealand is a lot a younger country than North America, and supposedly. You know, the country was settled at a point where supposedly the British were at their most soft and civilized.
It's almost like it didn't have a 19th century as America did.
A different 19th century.
Okay. All right. So anyways, that was just a side note about how you come in my image of when I first met you. You're the Thompson Quadrant. So, okay, I was trying to, did you get a sense of how Ion is different from me? And then you asked about how does it relate to the Trivium Quadrivium? Yep, I've explained that.
Yep, now we're going to go back to, we're going to do the question that we probably should have started at is, if you're coming to this chart afresh, what's the first thing that you do to orient yourself and work through quickly getting a sense of it before you can, say, move into the Bob Scott Norris dialogues and go through it in depth?
Yeah, you recognize there's five levels, and you see at the top the vertical columns, Rai, Eloy, Tulafi, Bob, are five levels, and each sub-level... Under Rai, what do you get?
Rai relates to holeopathic radio satellite, Eloy to holeopathic television satellite Mason, 2 to holeopathic computer satellite Baron, Lofty to holeopathic satellite Squared, and Bob to anthropomorphic physical.
Demon nuclei.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fourth level of Croker was the diquark. Yeah, so you match that. Now, the first line underneath Rai is the colors, orange, red, blue, yellow, green, goes along left to right. You will see that's very mechanical. Everything fits its level, and when you look at the next phase, you look at holopathic radio satellite, you find the first word underneath is adenine, which is one of the parts of DNA. You'll see that the other three parts of DNA are in the same position underneath the title of each quadrant. So under holopathic television satellite is guanine, or guanine, however you say it. Holopathic.
And these have the characteristics that are relative to their quadrant?
Yes. They are appropriate to... The more and more you go into each particular discipline and knowledge system, you will find it's well-placed. It's in the right place.
Okay, the reason why I raise this thing, this idea of characterization, because it's key in McLuhan, this idea, and it comes out of his literary studies in terms, we're talking really, really basic here, that things have a relational structure that is independent of the thingness, if it were. You know, it has its character, which can be transposed onto other things. So
yeah, it's personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so everything is positioned methodically, so you would see beneath the genetic category for each quadrant, you'll see a number. And you'll see the number in the same position in the subsequent column as you move down. So if you just happen to glance and you see, oh, in the computer satellite it says Rolling Stone magazine, you know that that is 1, 2, 3, 8 positions from the title. You'll know that in the 8th position of every quadrant there'll be a magazine named. You see?
Yep.
So it's very methodical and matchable and properly positioned, everything in its right place. So you know there's an order. If you just scan and see all the different themes, you won't notice that it is orderly. It'll be too overwhelming. You have to know that there is a movie, that there is a position where a movie is named in the exact same position every quadrant, and there's a sport character named, there's a scandal like McCarthyism in its appropriate position in that column in each quadrant, the comparable relative scandal. So you begin with that. You know that it's, well, it's rigidly, you know, old-fashioned, literate space. It's like Mendel's, what's the periodic table? What was the guy's name? Mendel? Mendelssohn? Mediev?
I think Mendelssohn, but like, yeah, it was
Mediev. Mediev or Mendel or Mediev or whatever. Anyways, it's a periodic chart. It's a new periodic chart. It includes that. The next thing to realize is all the terms come from one of the people, Bruce, Croker, McLuhan, Thompson, Dobbs, and whoever left out. So you have in the under Rai, you go to the bottom, you see front spin. And then under Eloy is backspin. Under two is retrieval. Under Lofty is chiasmus. And Bob is melody. But the first four, front spin, backspin, retrieval, chiasmus, that's obviously the tetrad, right?
Yep.
So that's McLuhan level. Melody, now why I put melody in there is that because this is a visual chart, which enhances linearity and goal and direction, I claim that I was showing the melody. I was showing how we would get a sense of progression when we arrive at the hexatic. We look back and say there was an order, there was a road that was traveled, and that's the definition of literate space in music is melody, right? The road traveled in the song. So I'm the one who's providing a linear expression of the amazing spinning clothing crystals environment, all right? I'm imposing a linear left hemisphere map on this. Okay, so then right above McLuhan, the front spin, back spin, underneath Rai is circle. Then you have hyperbola to the right, and then ellipse, and parabola, and cone, torus. That is LaRouche's geometry.
Yep.
All right? So now there's a couple things in there, like at the very top you have five colors. That's normal knowledge. There's a bit of normal mainstream stuff that Croker, Thompson, and McLuhan work with, and it's not their jargon, like molecule, proton, electron, neutron, atom. That's known what that is. That's a discipline. That's a level of description of matter. And it is discussed by McLuhan and Thompson Croker individually in different ways. Black hole, red giant, white dwarf, quasar, pulsar, that's general science. Now you come to sacrificial TV, crash TV, disciplinary TV, surveillance TV, extramural TV, those are definite terms from Croker, right? So yep. You have the eccentric Croker level as well as the general knowledge of astrophysics juxtaposed here. Biology is prokaryotic cells, anaerobic bacteria, cyanobacteria, eukaryotic cells, and then Akasha. The fifth level, Akasha under Bob, is sort of the eccentric stuff. It's more my stuff on the Bob column, right? You don't relate melody to the first four aspects of the tetrad in the bottom line. Let's see, cone torus, that's a little bit of an eccentric twist I put on it, the first parts of geometry, creating the circle, the hyperbola, the ellipse, and the parabola. You do that by carving the cone is how you come up with those geometric relationships. So there's a mixture of McLuhan stuff, general knowledge stuff, like when I mentioned Mickey Mantle in the Holopathy Radio Satellite, and then the next McLuhan quadrant is Gordie Howe, They may not be known now, but they were well known over the last 50 years as major sports figures. And so they were not discussed by McLuhan and LaRouche, probably not. So you see how I'm mixing in general knowledge with the eccentric paradigms of the five quadrants, of the five thinkers. Overlaid, the whole thing is a replay of the vortices. That's why LaRouche is a replay of Pound, McLuhan a replay of Wyndham Lewis, Holypathic replay, Thompson's a replay of T.S. Eliot, William Butler Yeats is replayed by Croker. Now, that's one that Don Thiel didn't get. How does Croker's not a Yeatsian or something, but what he didn't know or didn't, I don't know if I ever told him this, but what he didn't know is that Croker defines his work. Now, you're making this noise, Andrew. Careful there. It's loud.
Don't be distracted, Bob. Don't be distracted.
Yeah. Well, it goes on the tape. It's quite loud, I think. Anyways, Croker, occasionally when he's interviewed, will talk about he represents remembrance. He says, I want people to remember the bulldozer that my father drove, the bulldozer that my father and his union worked on. He has one of his agenda is to remember the working man, so to speak, right? And show what has annihilated the working man. That, to me, is Yeatsian in the sense of Yeats was trying to retrieve Celtic culture in Ireland. The Celtic twilight, as Joyce made fun of. Do you see what I'm saying? The remembrance aspect of the tribe?
Yes, it's slightly obtuse unless you have expressed it that way.
Yeah, you've got to know your stuff on some levels of the chart here. And then James Joyce is in the Dobbs quadrant. And that is the reason Joyce is there, not that I'm a writer, great writer like James Joyce, is that Joyce's multi-level use of Finnegan's Wake, the method, the approach of collage, juxtaposition in Finnegan's Wake is what's being shown here and simplified in the chart. And if you look at the bigger chart, the Dobbs formula, I have the very members of the Finnegan's Wake family as figureheads replacing Rye, Eloy, Two, and Lofty, and Bob. All right?
Yeah, so to the lyric consciousness, Bob, this is not too dissimilar to an already filled-in cryptic crossword.
That's right. Yeah, it's it's very left hemisphere, and it's meant to be. Once we have my friends make the video version, the hologram version of this, you'll see that there's whole other aspects of this that you do not and cannot get represented on a visual flat space.
Yes.
But there's a service to making it literate in flat space. You know, I'm just providing it that angle, that bias, so the left hemisphere people can get a handle on this. Okay, so you go into the Norris Dobbs dialogues. I go into all the meanings of each word, but overall, their most memes and forms of knowledge in human culture are embedded in here. For example, you have theater. Each quadrant is a Shakespeare play, and particularly a tragedy. You have general cultural positions, the politician, the priest, the teacher, the artist, the doctor/scientist. Then you got particular sociological categories, psychological studies categories, relationships between weapons and software environments, fads like hackers, slackers, yippies, hippies, and beatniks, right? It's journalistic. You will see that in my quadrant, the sub-medium is magazine. So this is also like a magazine. It covers so many different actions in the community, the five-bodied community.
I've got two more questions, Bob, before I think we can bring it to a close. The second one was, the first one is in your quadrant, which is, well, sort of half your quadrant insofar as you're the author and sitting over above this as well as being included in it, you've got the designation Dr. Scientist. Does that still hold post-ION?
Yes, that is where I was correct. I'm not seen as an artist in terms of creating movies, records, albums, traditional arts. I never made a novel or anything. But what I'm associated with, the extension of non-physical so far, cold fusion and the RNA drops, is definitely medicinal and physical science. So I seem to be in the doctor scientist role right now. And that's my quadrant. That's what I'm doing with Ion and Carolyn. So that's totally... Ion made that more appropriate. If I did not have Ion and was not helping in the creation of extensions of non-physical, how am I a doctor or scientist? You know what I mean? Before Ion, I'm, what am I, a poser? Yeah. Okay. I did mean it in the, for me, the doctoring was there because I understood McLuhan's mediacology was deeply medicinal. And I considered what I was presenting as a kind of science along the new science theme of McLuhan. But the conventional meanings of doctor scientist I'm actually doing now. So Ion has completed that, the meaning of the Dobbs quadrant.
Okay, which dovetails perfectly into the second question. McLuhan, in one of his great tetrads on science throughout the ages, one of the flips he has is that flips into the new laws of physics. We've asked the question for, I guess it were, dummies or entry-level question into your charts. How does your charts, do you perceive them relating to the new laws of physics?
Okay, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we did, I pulled out the tetrads on Verbum and tetrad that were published in 1977 in Etcetera magazine?
Yes.
Did you ever look up that issue?
No, I've got it on Interline, but it hasn't turned up.
Okay, because when I brought it up during a MUM, and then I made the effort later in the week to type them out and post them on the front page of MUM, and they're there.
Yep.
The one page that I didn't do that I think was in the Etcetera magazine article, it must have been because it's beside that, was the one on the laws of physics, the very tetrad you just spelled out. And so I didn't know if you, how are you aware of that?
I'm not sure how I'm aware of that, Bob. I just am aware
you
of
have
that.
It. You do have it.
Yes, I can find it somewhere. I pointed it at my thesis.
You what? Quoted it?
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Okay, so the point is that when I was deciding what to type up, I had the option of doing that whole page, and I was going to I scanned it into the computer because you can work with a scan, and then that's got the basic letters, and then you tidy it up before you post it on the MUM site. And it was all scattered, and it wouldn't come through, so I dropped that. But I'm delighted you bring it up because that is... And I didn't look at it much once and said, I'm not going to do it. I didn't review it. Like, I've looked at it many times through the years, but I haven't done it in years. I forgot about the new law. It anticipates the new laws of physics. That's Ion. That's what McLuhan's predicting. Because Ion is presenting new laws of physics. That's part of the knowledge we work with. So that's great that you reminded me of that, Andrew. There's McLuhan predicting... Not string theory or whatever theories have come up down the pike since he passed in 1980. I think a new level of physics includes Akasha, includes the substance change that Christ represents, and that's what Ion provides. So congratulations, you helped me find out what my chart meant.
And that, I think, Bob, is a wrap. I think there's ample scope to continue to digress, to continue to explore. But let's keep it there because I think we've provided a listenable chunk and maybe we'll return to it if anybody requires it.
Yeah, after they listen to the Scott Norris Dobbs details on it, which are at dobbsone.com, come back and listen to this again, and maybe that evokes new things to say.
Yeah, I really, really encourage people to go and listen to that, the dialogue between you and Scott, because it is really quite spectacular.
And it does make sense of the chart. You know, it really helps you see it. And the one final little point, the Dobbs quadrant bottom right-hand corner, it says Rumpelstiltskin. So Rumpelstiltskin is the ground, almost, of the whole chart, because the chart is from 1960 to 1990, which is the years for the Dobbs Squadron. So this is all about Dobbstown in relation to the Android meme. That's the hidden ground. The Dobbstown is the hidden ground of the other, quote, holy offices, unquote. So, waiting for organic bodies, the spinning clothing crystals have had their day, and we've arrived where we intended to be.
Thanks, Bob. I'm just going to push stop now.